2 Corinthians chapter 6, starting at verse 9. Tonight, the three verses in 2 Corinthians 6 is a seeming paradox, a seeming contradiction, which in reality is one of God's series of paradoxes, starting at verse 9, actually in verse 8. But in verse 9, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and yet behold, we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. O Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. Bow your hearts and pray with us. Father, we thank you tonight for this particular portion, because we realize there are many headlines in heaven that will never hit the papers on the earth. There are many unknown people in the corporate body of Jesus Christ who are making headlines in the eternal paper of heaven. We thank God for every single one of them, because the Scriptures teaches us the value of 2 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11 in this particular portion. We pray tonight, as we consider this portion and these truths, that you would enlighten our hearts in a meaningful way with a relevant importance of each word. And we'll thank you for it as we worship you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Notice verse 9 in 2 Corinthians 6. As unknown and yet well known. It's a beautiful verse. Here, the Lord says there are a lot of people who are unknown people. People that are unknown and yet they are well known. Did you ever notice in the Word of God how Jesus Christ takes unknown people, people that never are popular or never well known upon the earth, and makes them well known to the Word of God? Their name has remained throughout the entire history of the Bible, and they are well known characters, people that were never known much in their day, but now, and for many, many years, they have been very well known. I'd like to have you consider such people tonight. I know quite a few people that are unknown, yet are well known. I want you to meet them for a few minutes tonight, some of these people. For example, when Jesus took the little maid in 2 Kings 5, 2 and 3, that ministered about Elisha the prophet to the mistress of Naaman, the king of Syria, who had leprosy and was destined to die. A little unknown maid, just a little maid, unknown, completely unknown. And she was doing work for the mistress of Naaman. One day, this little unknown maid said to the mistress, she said, there's a prophet in Israel, his name is Elisha. And this prophet would heal your king and would be able to direct him in his particular affliction and help him right now in his adversity. And she said, if he'd only go to Elisha the prophet, this is a man of God. Now, imagine the link that she played in the chain of circumstances. A little unknown maid. Unknown. No one knew anything about her. She was hid away somewhere, but a little witness for Jesus Christ. Just a little witness for Jesus Christ. I said last week in my introduction that there is no lesser work in the kingdom of God. And I want to reiterate that again and again with new continuity, because if you give a cup of cold water in Jesus' name, it's just as important as preaching to 50,000 people. If you're faithful, serving God with 8 people, and yet doing your best to sow the seed through the Holy Spirit, You're just as big in God's eyes as somebody with the biggest church in America. There is no such thing as a greater work if you're spirit-filled and you love God and you're growing in grace and knowledge and you're serving Jesus for the glory of God and walking in the Spirit the best you understand. And when you fail, you rebound. And the best you know how, whatsoever you do all to the glory of God in 1 Corinthians 10:31. With all your heart, or heartily, in Colossians 3:23. Then there is no lesser work. There isn't such a thing as quantity. The thing that really counts is quality. Is it done in the power of Jesus Christ? This little maid had a major role to play. Just a little maid. A little unknown maid. But in heaven she was well known. The saints that had gone on at that time in paradise knew her. That little maid was known among the angels of God. She was unknown, yet she was well known. And what a thrill it is to meet her tonight as one of God's unknown people as far as the earth goes. It doesn't take much to get on the headlines of our daily newspaper. You can rebel and act up and be a reactionary. And chances are, somewhere along the line, your name will be in the paper as somebody of prominence if you rebel enough. But in God's economy, in God's time, there are many unknown people that make the eternal newspaper of heaven continually. There are unknown people that are well known. And the Word of God says they are well known. Take, for example, Andrew in John 1, verses 40 and 41. When Andrew and John, he was with John and another disciple, and when he heard that Jesus Christ was coming and went to visit him, and Jesus called him. Immediately, verse 41 said, Andrew went and won his brother Simon. Andrew was unknown, but in heaven he was well known, and he won his brother. Most of us realize that Andrew never was known to be the preacher that Peter was. He never got into situations as Peter did. He wasn't as impulsive, and he was a silent type of servant of God, unknown, but very well known in heaven. And then there's that Samaritan of Luke 10:31-37. The priest came by when that man went from Jericho to Jerusalem, and he was going from Jerusalem rather to Jericho, and he was left half dead and wounded by thieves. The priest went by, the Levite went by in verse 32, and the good Samaritan, half Jew and half Gentile, despised by both, came along, and the Word of God says that he stopped and helped the man and took him to an inn. And he had much love for this wounded individual, though he was rejected by all. The Samaritan was unknown because he was hated by both Jew and Gentile, but he was well known in heaven. How many in our pews tonight are unknown people, but are very well known? I was thinking of what I heard recently about a medical doctor in Jack Hiles Church in Hammond, Indiana. This medical doctor recently was going to build a new home, and the home was to cost $45,000. He was living in a home valued, according to Jack Hiles, valued at $10,000. He'd been through his apprenticeship. He was an established physician and doctor. And he decided he'd build a home and for his wife and family after many years of study and many years of hard work, even though he had served God diligently. This medical doctor was praying one night, and God told him that he didn't have to have a new home. And so what he did was, he took the money, some $20,000 that he'd saved for the new home. And meanwhile, he'd been giving tremendously to the ministry in Hammond, Indiana. And he took the $20,000 and sent $15,000 to help build a church, that is, to help build a school. And he put the other $5,000 into kids' education, going to school. And he and his wife, after 11 years of practice, still live in a $10,000 home, which is really, around here, wouldn't be worth any more than $5,500. And Jack Hiles said he went into his room, and as the doctor came up quietly in a prayer meeting and told him of his decision, and he wept. And he said, I realized what makes the Church of Hammond, Indiana, is those kind of people. And he said, I've got them all over this congregation, just like that. They give sacrificially and diligently without a single question and go without and go without again and again to promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that doctor and his wife and three children tonight have forfeited a new home so that some children can go to Bible college and so that they can have a Bible school, a Christian high school, and then a liberal arts college at Baptist City in Hammond, Indiana. Unknown. He'll never reach the daily newspaper and certainly doesn't want to. He's unknown, but he's well, well known in heaven. He's well known. I remember going into a home in Portland and her sister comes here every Sunday morning to church. She accepted Christ under our ministry. Her husband accepted Christ under our ministry and then he went to be with the Lord. And I went into that home and this woman had 17 children. You know what kind of children they were? I'll tell you what kind of children they were. Retarded, spastics, epilepsy. And I looked at those 17 children and said, how in the Lord's name does she ever take care of 17 children? Epilepsy, epileptic kids. And how did she do it? And what would motivate a woman to take care of 17 kids that come and go like that? And then I talked with her. She gives every month and always sends a beautiful letter. I found out after talking with her 5 minutes what motivated her to do it. She said, I can't offer much to this world, but there's one thing I can do. I can help kids that will never have a chance. So she said, I just take in these retarded children. These kids that nobody in the world wants, nobody wants, nobody wants. And she said, I take them in. And she said, day in and day out, I have to get strength one moment at a time in order to live because of physical exhaustion. But she wept as she talked with us and she said, but it's such a rewarding experience to be able to minister. She didn't use the word minister, but to be able to help these kind of children. And I thought as I went out in my car, and she didn't accept Christ the first time we saw her. She had a strong background of good works will get you to heaven. But the next time we came, she did accept Christ. But I thought, what a beautiful thing it is. She's an unknown person. No one knows her in Portland. Very few people. No one knows her, but she's well known in heaven. Why? Because she's got a ministry with people that no one else wants. A real first-class godly ministry with kids that are rejected everywhere they go. And that's her ministry. 17 of them with no hired help. With no hired help. She'll be listening to this broadcast. After it's over, she'll call us and say something sweet and kind. And she's a fantastic woman. Unknown, yet well-known in heaven. How many unknown people are like that? Unknown. I'll never forget the story of the people we met in Putnam, Connecticut, where we had a week of meetings. They went down to adopt a child, and they had a choice. It touched my heart as much as anything in my ministry. And they went down, and they went to this beautiful baby. They had a choice. They'd waited a long time. And they went to this beautiful baby. And they were going to choose that baby, and the Holy Spirit stopped this man and his wife and said no. They went over to another baby that was blind, that had a birthmark completely over his chin and over the left side of his face. And God said, that's the baby I want you to take. And the husband looked at his wife, and the wife looked at her husband, and they knew God's choice. They made arrangements and took the baby home, a blind baby with a terrific birthmark on the lower chin and the left cheek. That was an unknown act. Nobody much will ever hear about that. That will never make the daily paper, but that's so well known in heaven. I mean, that made the angels shout. That made Jesus Christ rejoice. They were not selfish. They were not greedy. They were not living in their old natures. They were not thinking of themselves. They were able to go to the cross and listen to the voice of God. Unknown to the earth. unknown even in their church. Their church knows nothing about even that the child was adopted, we were told, except the pastor. They asked never to let it be revealed. Unknown down here, completely unknown, and yet so very well known in heaven. What a beautiful thing it is. I was thinking of some of the people in our own ministry. I know a family that gave $75 in the offering, and I know that they had no right to do it, and I know that they received a check in the mail for $110 that they didn't know was coming in. And I know that we said there was a special need, and this family gave $75. I know that they do not own things that you own in your house. And yet, they lovingly did this for Jesus Christ. They were unknown to you. They're unknown tonight. I wouldn't divulge who they are, but they're here tonight. They're unknown. They'll never be known to you. Their names will never be given. But I'm sure when they wrote out that check, and that's all the money absolutely and honestly that they had, with a possible exception of just enough for groceries, and I know that when they wrote out that check, that angels rejoiced, and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Peter and John and James and Paul and the New Testament saints and the saints that have been made perfect in Hebrews 12, 22 and 23, I know they rejoiced and praised God because this was an unknown thing, yet it was well known in heaven, because what they did unto the Lord, and they did it unto all of those that are in heaven. It was unknown to many of us, and it will be kept that way, but it was well known in heaven. One day, blind Bartimaeus was crying out in Mark 10:47, and he said, "Son of David, have mercy upon me." And the disciples rebuked him and said, "Hold thy peace and don't trouble the Master." In verse 49 of Mark 10, the Bible said that Jesus stood still and said, "Go and get Bartimaeus." And they went and got Bartimaeus, and Jesus said, "What do you want?" And he said, "I want to receive my sight." And Jesus said, "Your faith has made you whole. You have received your sight." Blind Bartimaeus was unknown to that multitude. That multitude following Jesus Christ through Jericho didn't have any use for this blind beggar. They didn't care for him. He was an unknown. But with Jesus Christ, he was well known. And Jesus Christ stood still because he had a need, and stopped the crowd, and stopped the people that was following him that day. And Jesus Christ said, "What is your need?" And he said, "That I might receive my sight." And Jesus said, "Okay, then you've received it. Your faith has made you whole." He was unknown, but oh, he was well known with Jesus Christ. One day there was a woman caught in adultery in John chapter 8, and they were going to stone her after the Pharisaical law of the Old Testament, and they were going to stone her, but immediately Jesus Christ trapped them because they tried to trap him, and he said, "Let him that is without sin cast the first stone." And from the eldest to the youngest they went out, and Jesus looked into her eyes and said, "Who is he that condemneth thee? Who is he that condemns you?" And she said, "No man, Lord." And he said, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." He forgave her. She was an unknown wicked sinner, but she was well known. She had a weakness. She had a problem. She had something that was troubling her. Perhaps it was heredity. Perhaps it was environment. But basically it was because of a wicked sin nature that she gave into. She was unknown as far as her need, but well known with Jesus Christ. And he said, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." She was well known, and she was forgiven. Her embarrassment changed. Forgiveness came in. A new heart, a new life, a new love, a new purpose, and a new grace. One day in John 6, verse 9, a little boy had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He was an unknown little boy. And the multitude was hungry, the 5,000 and their children, very hungry. And Andrew went at Philip's request and took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes and brought the little lad to Jesus. He was an unknown little fellow. But Jesus took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes and prayed and multiplied it into enough to feed the 5,000 plus. And this little lad was unknown, but he was well known in heaven, well known to Jesus. I want you kids tonight, the real small children, I want you to know that Jesus was a child once, and everything you do is well known to him. He loves you personally. He does care. Many times you'll be overlooked by adults, but he cares, and he loves you very deeply. You're unknown as you play. You're unknown as you come and make your demands in childlike fashion. But with Jesus Christ, you're well known. And he says, suffer, little children, to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of God. You are well known, and God loves you deeply tonight, children. You teenagers, with many people, because of your habits in life and because of some of the things that you've done and because of the busyness of people, perhaps people don't love you the way they ought to and the way you think they should. And you're an unknown, perhaps, in your community. Perhaps you're unknown many times in fellowship and you feel isolated and detached. But I want you to know tonight that Jesus Christ was a teenager and he knows you well and you're well known and he loves you. And he was tempted in every point just like you are as a teenager. He was tempted. It may be hard for you to believe that he was tempted at every point. But Hebrews 4:15 and 16 says he was, yet without sin. So, maybe you feel unknown, but you're well known with him. He loves you by name. He's bottled your tears in Psalm 56:4. And tonight he says, cast all your care upon him because he cares for you. Maybe you've rebelled and reacted and done wrong and entered into sin. And you feel many times detached from the body, detached from your parents, detached from reality. You feel that you just don't count. And you feel like one of God's unknowns, but you're well known. Everything about you is well known. So you're young, unknown, yet you're well known. And then tonight there are those who, young men and women and older people, Jesus has been through every single thing that you've been through and that I've been through, and you're well known tonight. Your need is well known. Your desire is well known. And every heartache is well known with Jesus Christ. I want you to see with us tonight in verse 9, as dying, yet behold, we live. Always dying to our own rights, dying to the things that we need, dying to our desires. And how are we going to have revival? And how are we going to have money enough to support God's ministry and God's program? How are we going to have men and women enough dedicated to function with a divine coordination in the corporate body to function in their particular place? In 1 Corinthians 12:27, how are we going to have people that will really pray and go to the home of God in the morning? How are we going to have people that will pray and love the body and witness and serve God in the power of the risen life? How are we going to have people that will put Jesus Christ ahead of everything in the world if we don't enter into dying? Yet the Word of God says is dying, and behold, we live. For every time we enter into his death and crucifixion and burial, we enter into his resurrection, life, and ascension. As dying, yet behold, we live. As chastened and yet not killed. As sorrowful and yet always rejoicing. I went up to a certain woman to my right, and I said, why is it that you always cry in the church services? I said, are you sad? She said, yes, but I'm rejoicing. I said, why the tears always come? She said, I feel very sad, yet very happy. I said, even when souls get saved, you cry. She says, I'm sad because of God's love, but I'm so happy. I said, when somebody goes to be with the Lord, you cry. And she said, I'm sad, but I'm so happy. And I understand what she means. Many times when the power of God comes down, we're sorrowful. We're sorrowful. Our heart is burdened for people. We have a tremendous constraint of love to help them, to minister to them. Yet inside there's a deep rejoicing always. We're ready at any moment to praise God, to sing, to just be happy in him, sorrowing, yet always rejoicing. A strange paradox about a strange people, God's people. As poor, yet making many rich. C.T. Studd, when he gave his income for the sake of the gospel, gave it to the poor and gave it to the ministry and headed off without any money, and he was very poor. Yet he possessed all things. He walks by faith, but that kind of a person is a strange person because they possess all things. Notice it carefully. As poor, yet making many rich. As having nothing, yet possessing all things. Poor in this world's good, but sharing a message that sends somebody to heaven that gets their sins forgiven, singing a gospel hymn as someone called into that ministry, as Brother Mickey is here tonight. Whatever it is, is poor, yet making many rich, sharing Jesus Christ. A strange thing, but a beautiful thing, because it's exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ teaches of every disciple of his. And then he says in verse 11, O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, and our heart is enlarged. Listen carefully. There are many unknowns here tonight that are poor, and yet they make many rich. They have nothing, yet they possess all things. They die to their own rights, and behold, they're living. And there are many here tonight. If we started mentioning names and telling you some of the things that some of them have done, we'd leave out so many that it wouldn't be fair. But there are so many. I know that I could call upon several hundred, at least a couple hundred tonight. And I know if I said, we have this need and Jesus has this need, I know that in an unknown way they'd do everything they could because they're unknowns and they do love Jesus Christ. That's the reason the crowd is what it is tonight. That's the reason we have our 30 ministries that are in the highways and byways. That's why we're going on across America with our own mission board and across the world. That's why we're going on with Christian Day School and our Bible Institute program, nationwide TV. That's why we're able to do it. We have some unknown people that are just plain unknowns that are well known with God. God can trust them to accept His grace. He can trust them to minister. He can trust them to love. He can trust them to pray. He can trust them to lay down their life. And every time I look at them, it makes me filled up with tears and with great rejoicing. There are many unknowns. They're never up on the platform, some of them. They never make the platform. Some of them never sing a solo. Some of them never do a single thing. Some of them never even testify very often the way that others do. Yet, they're well known. They're unknown, dedicated people, and for them to live is Jesus Christ. They're poor, but they make many rich. They have nothing, but they possess all things. And it's a beautiful thing that the people that have the least seem to always be willing to do the most without any question. And how precious it is tonight that Paul said in verse 11, our mouth is open unto you, and our heart is enlarged. He said, listen, we are disciples. We're the offscourings and the filth of the earth. We're hated and rejected and persecuted by men. We've been lied about and robbed and cheated and maligned and criticized and judged in every form of sin. And yet he says, though having nothing, we possess all things. As God continues to move in our revival, as the sensitivity of the Holy Spirit enlarges, as the love of God grows with intensity, as the power of the Holy Spirit continues, I want you to think with me tonight. We're going to have a crowd of unknown people who are hid with Christ in God. People that will put soul winning and prayer and loving the brethren and Jesus Christ ahead of life itself. We have such a task in New England. I had a meeting tonight with some folks in my office about our future plans. And I had another meeting yesterday with some more people about our future plans. And I know what God wants. I know the hundreds and thousands that He wants to reach through this ministry complementing the other great ministries of God in America. And I know the only kind of people that He can use are the unknown people. The unknown. When that couple saw the blind baby, with a birthmark on the chin, and both of them looked in each other's eyes weeping and said, the husband said, honey, he's the one. And she said, I know it. And picked up the baby and loved the baby to death. When this woman in Portland showed me in one room alone 5 retarded children, then I went into another room and there was 3 children that had epilepsy and the 4th one was a spastic. And when I saw that sight and she wept and said, I can help them. I can help them. Oh, listen, God needs the unknown people that are well known in heaven. Jesus Christ gave up His life as an unknown, and He was judged and condemned as a wine bibbler, as Beelzebub, as a murderer. He was judged as a liar. He was judged as an illegitimate. And on the cross, there He was an unknown, and darkness came over the earth, and the trembling of the rocks came because of an earthquake. pitch black, God announced something from heaven, the judgment upon His Son, and the judgment upon the universe for judging His Son falsely. Jesus Christ, who was God Almighty in that body, was an unknown. Jesus Christ, who was deity, was an unknown. Jesus Christ was unknown, but well-known in heaven. Well-known, though He was unknown. And He said, all of those that will identify with My death and burial and give their life up for the purpose of love, for the purpose of sharing compassion, for the purpose of manifesting life, those that will come and lay down their lives in 1 John 3:16 for the brethren, those that will come and pray, I believe that prayer will turn hearts upside down. And I believe as we pray together and humble ourselves in the sight of God and repent of any known sin through the grace of God, I believe as we pray and believe God, we can receive from God what we need and what other people need. I believe tonight that God's people must travail in prayer. We must travail as a mother travails in pain before she has a child in Isaiah. So we must travail in prayer through the grace of God and praise Him and worship and pray. I've said before that I believe if 200 people would gather here even once in 2 weeks or once a month and fall on their faces before God as unknowns, unknowns that would get up in the morning, unknowns that wouldn't put sleep first one day during 2 weeks or one day during a month, some unknown people that give the kingdom of God priority, that consider effort nothing because it's a privilege, unknown people, hundreds of them gathering here, bowing their hearts before God and pleading for souls, praying for pastors, loving them in their hearts as they pray, praying for missionaries who are serving God faithfully, praying for one another in the love of God, just praying with melted hearts and molded lives and motivated precepts of God through the Holy Spirit. I believe if we gather in prayer, I've asked you to do it before, I've said it before, I'm not going to say it very often. We must be an unknown person that'll pray and pray together and pray for one another and pray with meaning and purpose and love and power. Pray so that we can move the mountains by the love of God through the faith of Jesus Christ. And so we need people that will pray, and we need people that will just plain share Jesus Christ and share His love. The unknown people that will help in every area of the ministry. Oh, the bus ministry needs it, and thank God for Bud and those working diligently. The bus ministry needs it. The prison ministry needs it. The open air ministry needs it. The nursing home ministry needs it. Oh, the unknown people that'll go and take an elderly person by the hand and say, I love you deeply. The unknown people that'll go out where people don't listen well, where they seem to be rejected, but they keep on plugging and keep on sharing Christ. The unknown people, the people that'll go on knock at the doors of some people that don't want us to come in. They didn't ask us to come. They don't want us to come, but we're unknown and we don't care. We know they have a need. We love them, and we're going to go in the power of faith and the power of grace. And so we keep on knocking, and one by one they open the door. We go as unknown people. We don't care what the personal persecution is all about, because we're unknown. And thanks be to God tonight. But I believe God is raising up that kind of a people. And I want you to pray with me about it, as you've never prayed before, that God will help us to fall into this category of be willing to be the unknown crowd on the earth, yet well known. Because every time we move as a body, hid with Christ in God, the angels say, there they go again. There she goes. Watch her. 1 Peter 1:12, 1 Corinthians 4:9, as they look in under it. And Jesus said, there's my servant Job. There's my servant Paul. There's my friend Abraham, and there's my servant Moses. Unknown, but very well known. Oh, if God could take the pleasure mad fleshly world, if God could take your naturalistic tendencies, if God could take away your lust for the world and other things and put the power of compassion in your heart tonight and bring you to the cross to make you an unknown individual in the eyes of the world so that you could be well known. I know what God wants. I'm positive tonight if I can get people through the power of God to pray, to really humble themselves and pray, and to get a hold of God at the at the altar in their homes and their bedrooms and get them to pray together and band together by large numbers and just pour out their hearts in prayer. I know what God has done in Indonesia. I know what God is doing in areas where we've done this. God, help us to do this. I hope that you're willing tonight to be unknown. Just be unknown. That's all. Would you bow your head and close your eyes?